Welcome to the podcast for St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center. That's in Random Lake, Wisconsin, north of Milwaukee and south of Sheboygan. We're pleased to share with you recent sermons and Bible classes from our congregation. We welcome you to join us for Divine Service Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We have Bible classes currently offered at 8:15 a.m. on Sunday. Join us to receive the Lord's Word and His gifts. Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center. That's in Random Lake, Wisconsin. A couple minutes early, but that's all right. So it is. I thought before we began today, I'd share some words from Luther about the psalm that we've been praying this week, Psalm 81. And just wanted to note, Luther's commentary on Psalm 81 is from fairly early in his ministry, but you can see that the psalms are, well, they're really, they were the kind of the window, I would say, into the gospel for Luther. And then, of course, that was brought into great deal of focus as he studied the letters of Paul, namely Romans and Galatians. Here's what he says about Psalm 81, so I'll give you a little context. This scholarship is, of course, excellent. Today we are dealing with the Feast of Trumpets, which was on the seventh, in the seventh month, I believe. That's right, the seventh month on the first day of the month. When in conversion to the new life, we preach penitence and affliction and the cross and the winepress. For thus preparation is made for the Feast of Atonement, in which everyone's soul should be afflicted. And this thought, all the words and mysteries touched on this psalm correspond. The new moon, which we'll see referred to in verse 3, which comes into being through the conjunction with the sun, Christ, by whom the soul is illuminated through faith. And thus it increases little by little, that it may give light also to others in the night. For God created the sun to rule the day and the moon, and the stars to rule the night, Psalm 136. The sun, in fact, does not know the night, for Christ is now not in the world, which is night, but in heaven and in the saints, whom he brightly illumines. Hence he says in John 17, now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world. But the church and every soul is in the night, that is, in the world. In such a night he shines for men with his rays. But Christ is in the day, as I said. Therefore, by his absence, he produces the night. Nevertheless, he leaves his moon and stars there enkindled and illumined by him. Now, this is pretty typical of medieval, what we call exegesis, interpretation of the scriptures, drawing out teaching from the scriptures. And so that's what he says. First, therefore, in an allegorical and spiritual sense, the meaning has to do with the church, which begins after the synagogue. Then it was the true new moon, and actually St. Peter is going to do that with our reading from Acts 2 today. Second, then came the Feast of Trumpets, for at that time the cross of Christ and penitence began to be proclaimed by means of the apostolic trumpet. Notice he doesn't say forgiveness of sins, but penitence, again, early Luther here. It was then, and still is now, a day of noise and trumpet. Third, the cornet, which is the wonderful word and deed in mysteries. The horn is taken from the head of a slain ox. So the word of the gospel concerning Christ, the God, who was slain according to the flesh, is taken and proclaimed. So you notice how he takes all the elements in the psalm and then comes out with this allegorical sense that it has a higher spiritual meaning. Very typical of medieval exegesis. We preach nothing but Christ crucified, says the apostle, 1 Corinthians 2. Not only the cross, which he himself carried, but also the one we should carry. He died and was offered up and departed, leaving behind the horn of his head, which was sounded by the apostles in the whole world. Thus Abraham, Genesis 22, saw behind his back, that is, in the time that would come after him, a ram, that is Christ, sticking fast, that is, through the crucifixion, among the briars, that is, the Jews, unfruitful, confused, entangled, in wrath and envy, by the horns, that is, by his word, which he preached, and because of which they ensnared him. All right. So you notice how Luther says that everything is signifying something else. It had that context, but then it's signifying something else. Luther actually gets away from this later on in his interpretation, not only of the Psalms, but of the Scriptures. It doesn't signify something else, but it actually is what it is, right? But I think he actually does a pretty good job then with verse 1. Listen to this. Sing aloud to God our helper, that is to Christ, who helps us in the new life by shifting us from law to grace, from synagogue to the church. Law to gospel, we would say. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob, to that same Christ, who through the destruction of sin and the victory over death is the God of Jacob, that is, of the people who supplant and conquer through death and sin itself. And therefore, in order that you might sing aloud and shout for joy, raise a psalm and sound the timbrel, that is, receive his works that were done in strength from above and believe in them. And as for you, sound the tremble, that is, bring forth mortified flesh. It is as if you were saying, receive his works and merits by which he justified you and helped you to the new life. These things are the mystical psalm which the Holy Spirit played and sang for you through Christ himself, which is the lyre. Therefore, take up the same, embrace the divine psalm and melody of the Holy Spirit through which he has helped you. But you too must bring the timbrel for this, that is, having received life in the Spirit, offer your flesh. For once you have found that pearl, set all that you have for this treasure. Hate your soul so that you are worthy to be loved by him. All right, so you hear early Luther and you hear a strong tinge of that kind of, what do you want to say, exchange theology. Not exchange theology, that's not great. Transactional theology. God does this for you, so now you have to offer to him yourself. Which, in a way, is denial of the work of the Holy Spirit, which Luther will then emphasize later in his ministry, right? As he comes to understand the Scriptures rightly to recognize that you can't help but sound the tambourine and the sweet lyre and the harp, having received the gospel. It's not a sacrifice. It's actually a fruit of faith, a fruit and work of the Holy Spirit. So I thought I'd share that with you just to hear that. You know, not all Luther is to be commended unto you. All right, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sing aloud to God our strength, shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song, sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast day. For it is a statute for Israel, a just decree of the God of Jacob. He made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a language I had not known. I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me. There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow after their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would last forever. But he would feed you with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You note there are some wonderful connections, of course, to the feast of Pentecost and that Feast of Weeks, which we talked about yesterday. I note not only the new moon, which will be connected, of course, to the Passover, but as St. Peter will say today, but there was, of course, I am the God who brought you out of Jacob. There was something in here that I wanted to point out to you. Oh, I hear a language I had not known. Right? And that new language is the language of the gospel, the new song of the church. All right. Let's say our memory verse for this week together. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1, verse 21. In our catechism, You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And now to widows. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. All right. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. 1 Timothy 5, verses 5 through 6. Now, to everyone, the commandments are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13, verse 9. I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. All right, our first reading today is from Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 5. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes, and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? It's a wonderful confession, both of God's omnipotence, namely that he is the one. And he alone is the one who saves. Beautiful. And then a continuation of our reading from Acts chapter 2, today the sermon. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There ends the reading, the first part of Peter's sermon. It's not a long sermon, but we'll break it up for our study. All right. Who is the chief preacher here of the 11? Is Peter. And what hour of the day was it? I have to know a little bit how you reckon the day according to the Jewish, clock, I guess. It's the third hour, which is 3 hours then after sunrise, roughly 6 a.m. So this is about 9 in the morning. So they're not drunk as I suppose, because it's only 9 in the morning. Makes sense. What other important New Testament event happened at the third hour? That's when Jesus was nailed to the cross. Remember, his trial before Pontius Pilate was overnight, right? Pontius Pilate and, of course, the Jews. It kept going back and forth between he Pilate and Herod, right? And the chief priests. So it was about the ninth hour that he was crucified, and then he hung upon the cross. Or at the third hour, and then he hung upon the cross until about the ninth hour, right? That's when he gave up his spirit. All right. Yeah, which is, of course, testified to us in the Gospels. What verses from Joel did Paul, Peter use here in his preaching? These are from Joel chapter 2, actually, 2 verses 28 to 32. And note, yeah, it's all about the Lord doing the work and gathering. All right. How does the Lord, quote, pour out his spirit on all flesh? This is unique from the giving of the spirit through, say, the tongues of fire, which came on Pentecost earlier in the day. And it's also different than the spirit that's given, same Holy Spirit, but how the spirit is given in your baptism. Now this is upon all flesh by the preaching of the gospel. That's what Joel is talking about. What does the reception of the gospel bring forth in the sons and daughters of the kingdom? When they have that spirit poured out in the preaching, what happens? All of them, the sons and daughters, the young men, the old men, the maidservants, menservants, they all shall prophesy, that is, to confess faith in Jesus Christ, their Savior. And to confess faith, by the way, means to say it out loud. All right. To what do the visions and dreams of the young men and the old men refer to? Visions and dreams. You see that in verse 17. Think about what the old men and the young men of the prophets and the priests and the psalmists, what did they look forward to? What was their hope, their dream, their vision? Now we see this in Jesus' own ministry. They hope for the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting that faith in Christ gives to them. And so it is for Christians too. We look forward, we have visions, we have dreams of the day in which we'll be raised from the dead and that Christ will wipe every tear from our eyes. Of course, it's a vision or it's a dream that's given to us by God's own word, right? So it's confident and sure, not the imagination of our hearts, right? What do blood and fire and vapor of smoke remind us of? Blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. Well, I suppose there's a few things that could come to mind. Blood, of course, we think of the blood of Jesus that is given for sin. The blood of the martyrs who will die for the faith. Fire, we've already had the fire of the Spirit that comes in the preaching of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But also think of the Old Testament sacrifices that go forth, and now in the church, as the psalmist gives us, these are the incense that rises is the prayer of the saints that call upon the Lord in the midst of persecution and suffering. The gospel gives us hope in the midst of a great tribulation in the latter days, right? Which will also have death and destruction, of course, fire and judgment. The pilgrimage of the church from Pentecost until the second coming of Christ, I think, is at mind here. And that pilgrimage would be being led by a pillar of cloud or vapor of smoke, right? When was the sun turned to darkness? Peter, of course, is going to explain this tomorrow. Yeah, when Jesus died upon the cross, the sun was darkened. Right? And so the time of the church's tribulation, this time of young men seeing visions and old men dreaming dreams, well, that's the tribulation of the church in the world, right? And of course, our life in the church especially is patterned then after Jesus' own ministry, his life, or passion, suffering, and death, and resurrection to eternal glory. So will our lives be individually, but corporately too, as the church? And who is the one that is saved? Which is, of course, not only why Peter quotes from Joel to show us, you know, this was fulfilled at the cross of Christ, but also to point us towards salvation, right? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, verse 21, shall be saved. And not what is the name of the Lord, but rather, who is the name of the Lord? Who bears the name of the Lord? That's right, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. So it's kind of a complicated text from Joel. So the meditation today is a little bit longer, but hopefully will help you. The death and resurrection of Christ was the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. For now salvation is proclaimed in his name for all the nations of the earth. The prophecy of Joel indicates that the blessed hope of that Christians are given by the Holy Spirit comes through the gospel of Christ. Though the baptized will struggle with their own sin in a world of misery and despair, though they are persecuted and suffer much at the hands of those who do not believe in Christ, nevertheless, they anticipate and confess their firm hope in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. The dreams and visions of Christians are all of those things for which they hope, especially the immortal and glorious eternal life in which they shall forever worship the Lamb. These realities remain unseen in this life, but they are no less real, for they rest upon the sure and certain word of Christ's forgiveness. By faith, Christians look forward to the day in which they will, once and for all, be set free from the effects of sin. They all shall have what they previously had been able only to confess by faith. The vision of Christian hope was revealed to the Apostle John by the Holy Spirit and recorded for us in the book of Revelation. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall all be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21. Of course, we'll have more on Peter's sermon tomorrow. Let's continue by singing our hymn for this week. See, the Lord ascends in triumph.
See, the Lord ascends in triumph, conquering king in royal state, riding on the clouds his chariot to his heavenly palace gate. Hark the choirs of angel voices, joyful alleluia sing. And the portals high are lifted to receive their heavenly King. Who is this that comes in glory with the trump of jubilee? Lord of battles, God of armies, he has gained the victory. He who on the cross did suffer, he who from the grave arose, he has vanquished sin and Satan, he by death has crushed his foes. While he lifts his hands in blessing, he has parted from his friends. While their eager eyes behold him, he upon the clouds ascends. He who walked with God and pleased him, preaching truth and doom to come, he, our Enoch, is translated to his everlasting home. Now our heavenly heaven enters with his blood within the veil. Joshua now is come to Canaan, and the kings before him quailed. He plants the tribes of Israel in their promised resting place. Now our great Elijah offers double portion of his grace. He has raised our human nature on the cloud to God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places, there Him in glory stand. We sit at angels, men with goddess on the throne, by our Lord and ascension, we by faith behold our home.
Try to sing it by heart. Got a little confused. That's all right. Let's confess together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We pray together the collect for this week. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, you went throughout every town and village, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people, and all saw the miracles which you did on them that were diseased. Make haste, we cry to you, to help us, for the disease was severe in our land. Save the world from unbelief and the proud times, that all the earth may be refreshed and may hope for the judgment and mercy of him who made her. Give the sick ease and remedy to prolong life. May they obtain your help and recover. May all who wait for the Lord gain new strength. Remember in your kingdom the departed from this world. For you, O Lord, are the resurrection and the life. May all who believe in you inherit eternal life. Manifest to those who cry for the dead the love which surpasses knowledge, and protect us from disaster and despair, so that all might have hope through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures. Offer your help to doctors and nurses, to searchers and to scientists, for from you cometh healing. Let your peace come over all the earth. Abide with those who govern the world, and fill with wisdom those who have power over the nations, to have watching care for the well-being of citizens, which are called upon to serve. Do not leave us when we are in our homes and on the streets, on journeys and in dangers, encompassed by many with the sorrows of death. Stay with us, O Lord Jesus, our healer, and we will find rest for our souls, for you live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Today we pray for marriage and family, for husbands and wives, and parents and children, to live in ordered harmony according to the Word of God. For parents who must rear their children alone. For our communities and neighborhoods. We pray for those who graduate and complete their studies. For our first responders, doctors, nurses, and all who work in nursing homes and hospitals. For a great end to the school year. And for an end to anxious thoughts and worry. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We pray in thanksgiving for being able to once again gather in divine service this weekend. We pray for those who celebrate anniversaries, Tanya and Noel. Pray for those who have requested prayers for healing, for Carol Hawk, Marcella Bauer, Jan Borgwart, Brad Jentsch, Janet Jentsch, Carol Kelling, Chris Lindau, and Sandy Maxwell. For Wendy and Linda, Joan, Ken, Aaron, and Brian. For our homebound Willis and Janice, Mickey and Bev, and our missionaries, the Federwitz family, for all these, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I pray Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.